Blog Talk Radio.
Pies. Yes. Oh. For Tribe Entertainment.
Or something.
Oh,
found it or something.
Don't
Hallelujah, giving all praises, all glory, and all honor to the Almighty, whose name is Yahweh, by saying hallelujah, praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, let Yahweh be magnified. And welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I'm Maury Ishai Israel from the House of Israel, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And as I said, we're the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. I say shalom to everyone that is tuned in from our internet audience. We know the only reason that you have tuned into our program is because of your great love and fear towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Elohim of our Father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And with all praise, glory, and honor unto the Elohim of Elohim, the King of Kings, Yahweh of hosts. We're going to discuss this great Elohim today. We're going to allow you, our listening audience, our viewers, sending your questions to deal with what you would like to deal with from the book of Yahweh. And this is why the title of today's program is called Seek Ye Out of the Book of Yah, because it is in the book of the mighty Yah where you will find the answers to those questions that you have if you are seeking the truth. And let me show you what the Most High said about this as we await your questions. You can type your questions on YouTube and on Facebook. This should be fun.
Yeah, this one. Yes.
Check. Praise Yah. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know if you hear us now. We had a sound. There we go. Yeah. Well, since you all didn't hear anything I said, I'm going to repeat myself. Praise the mighty God, and welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Maury Ishah of the House of Israel, Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. And we're here bringing nothing but the truth. Mighty Yah. This is Yah. Yahweh is the Elohim, the creator of the heavens and earth and all that in them is. Yahweh is the only king, the only lawgiver, the only judge, and the only savior and redeemer of Israel and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of all fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to discuss the mighty Yah this evening. Thank you for everybody that told us that they can hear us so we can know what's happening. Shalom to everyone in our internet audience. And as we were saying, even hear us. We're taking questions today. We want to hear what your questions are that you would like to know. As the program is titled, Seeking Yah of the Book of Yah, we are going to answer your questions from the Word of the Mighty Yah. Whatever question you may have on religion, race relations, politics, community development, marriage, friendship, raising children, serving a false idol or not, what should we do in a time of Jacob's trouble, whatever question you might have, calendar, day and night, feast days, holy days, whatever question you may have, you can type your question on our YouTube chat, and you can also type it on our Facebook chat. And if you want us to be so bold, you can even call our program on Blog Talk Radio. And if I remember correctly, the number is 347-838-8963. Is that correct?
That's the right number.
347-838-8963. If you want to call and let the world hear your voice. But you can type your questions on our YouTube page, which is probably the easiest way to get your question read, or on our Facebook page. We will answer your questions. for the mighty Yah, because it is from Yah's book in which he told us to seek him from. And let's look at that in the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter. In Isaiah 34, verse 16, it reads, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. What does Yahweh let us know? He said to look, seek out of the book of Yah and read it. Not one of these shall fail. That means the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, 2 Samuel, Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalm of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and so on and so on. Not one of these books shall fail. Not one of them. Therefore, the Most High told us to seek out. And our first question is, why do people think that the Christ of the New Testament was from Palestine? It's a good question. Why do people think that the Christ of the New Testament was from Palestine? And Palestine is a name that has been given to a portion of the land of Canaan. That land of Canaan, the ancient land of Canaan, was given to the children of Israel by the Most High. And then the Philistines, who were in the land, they had some of the portion of the land because the children of Israel didn't drive out all Canaanites. And Philistines is a name given to a certain group of Canaanites. So the Philistines were there. And through Greek and Roman colonialism, they call it from Philistine to Palestine. Now you have a group of Muslims that live in the land, and they call themselves Palestinians, and they call their land Palestine, and they're nothing but a mingled descendant of the Canaanites and the Ishmaelites, and they call it Palestine. And so they try to attempt to say that Christ of the New Testament was a Palestinian or a Philistine or a Palestinian, some kind of Ishmaelite, Canaanite mixture. But the land in which the so-called Christ of the New Testament or the book of the New Testament took place in, the land of Israel, the land of the Hebrews. And the people of that land were dark-skinned people, which you call black people today. And so he wasn't a Muslim. He wasn't an Arab. He wasn't a mingled person. He was a Hebrew, according to the New Testament. And he was a black man, but not a Palestinian. And you know he was a black man, just to show you, even the New Testament, even though you see pictures of a white Christ on your walls, the New Testament describes the Christ of the New Testament as a black man. In a book that they just love so much, the book of Revelation, in the 13th verse of the first chapter. It says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girdle about the breast of the golden girdle. And his head of his hair was white like wool, and white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto burnished brass, as if they had been burned in a furnace. So now you know that he had woolly hair and black feet. And that can only be what? A black person, as you call them today. The praise of God. And why would he be black? Because he was descended of Hebrews, according to the book. It made him a black man. Any other questions?
Yes. Second question. Where Yahweh says heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool, does that mean earth is a square, like a stool?
No, that doesn't mean earth is a square, like a stool. As a matter of fact, we go to the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, we'll see exactly what Yahweh sits on. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 22nd verse says, it is he. And who is he? Let's look at the 21st verse. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and he that inhabits there, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out of the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. So he sits upon the circle of the earth, because the earth is a circle. It's round. It's not a two-dimensional thing. It's three-dimensional like everything else. Has four sides or four. Well, it's a circle. It don't really have sides. But nevertheless, it's not two-dimensional. It's not flat. And so it's not a square. It's not a cube. It's a circle. Anything, the only shape you can see that is given to the earth or the heavens in the scriptures is a circle. And if he sits, if heaven is his, and what it says in Isaiah, it's in Isaiah 66, verse 1, thus saith Yahweh, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So the heavens is a circle, and the earth is a circle. So the Most High, he doesn't deal with this flat stuff. He deals with circles. And the apple is a circle. The apple is round, and the orange is round. Watermelon is round. The head is round. Everything that has to do with this earth is some form of a circle. That is the shape, that is the master shape of this world. Not pancakes. Next question.
Praise God. Can you elaborate on David and what his significance is to us as Hebrews today?
Praise my God. Good question. What is David to Hebrews today? You go to the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. We'll begin at the 5th verse. It states, "For thus saith Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man does labor with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in labor, and as faces, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." What is the Most High letting us know? That there is a time upon us in which males will have a face as if they are laboring with child like a woman. And I've seen 4 live births, and that doesn't look pleasant at all. And if a man is going to have a face as if he is laboring the child, you can just imagine how painful this time is going to be. But he said, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, yet he shall be saved out of it. For it shall, verse 8, come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck, and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves in him. So in that time, in that day of Jacob's trouble, it's the same time in which the bond upon our neck, the yoke on our neck, the chains on our neck will be broken. And no longer will the strangers profit off of us. But in verse 9 it says, but they shall serve Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So we, children of Israel today, Hebrews today, black men and women in America today, we're the ones that are going through and will go through Jacob's trouble. We're the ones that Yahweh said will be delivered from this trouble. We're the ones that Yahweh said will seek Yahweh, and we're the ones that Yahweh said we're going to look for David, because David will be our king, our leader. If you go to the book of Hosea, the 1st chapter, in Hosea, the 1st chapter, in verse 9 it says, or verse 10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. And that's what has been said to us here. We've been called Gentiles and everything, but as they say, the child of Yah. But this place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living Elohim. Then the children of Yehuda and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Israel. Now, who's this one head? Who's one leader that we're going to appoint when we come up out of here? It's in the book of Isaiah. This is how significant David is to us. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 4 it says, behold, or verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So not only is David going to be the king, but we're going to get a covenant, an everlasting covenant, the fourth everlasting covenant that will be made with us, which will in turn allow or allot to us the sure mercies of David. And you know, David received great mercy. David, Yah's son, who did some terrible things, but Yahweh blessed him with mercy. And what did Yah say? He said, I show mercy unto the thousands of me, thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And David loved the Most High, and he turned back to his commandments. And Yahweh is telling us the same thing. Return unto him, and you will receive the sure mercies of David. For behold, I have given him, who? David. For a witness to the people. David will stand and be a witness to the people. And who's he going to witness for? He's going to witness for Yahweh. A leader. And that's why this one head is David, because he's the leader and commander to the people. This is David. And another scripture to show you the significance of David today. In the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. Behold, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Whose kingdom? David's kingdom. Whose throne? David's throne. To do what? To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from now on, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. So David is the one that Yahweh has chosen to be the leader, to be the commander, to be the witness, to be the king, to be the prince, to be the shepherd, that we shall all follow after and seek to lead us out of this land and be the king of Israel. The only name that God mentioned that will serve in this office is David. So he's not the one that is going to die for our sins. He's not going to come and redeem us by his blood on the cross, but he will be the leader. He'll be the one to witness. He'll be the one to command the people and be the shepherd. He'll be the ruler. And he's coming very soon. Next question.
Praise Yah. What does Jacob trouble entail, and what are single mothers and fathers to do?
It's a good question. Praise my God. Mm-hmm. What does Jacob's trouble entail? Let's go back to Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. There's two parts to that question. What does Jacob's trouble entail, and what are single mothers and single fathers to do? In Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, the 7th verse says, alas, for that day is great. Great. What day is this? The day where every man's hand is on his loin as he labors, as if he labored with child. So what kind of thing, what kind of situation has to happen to a man? What do you got to see that will make a man prepare? You see, this is how you know you're talking about black people. White people don't turn pale, they turn red. We feel sick and down. We like, man, we're losing some color. But white people, they turn red. We get pale. And what is going to turn my dark face pale? Great trouble. What kind of trouble? Something terrible. Alas, for that day is great, and there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. So there's going to be kind of trouble. And what kind of trouble can we have? It's already black men and women getting shot every 28 hours in America. Some of them are getting killed every time they get shot. You already have 70% of abortions that are performed in this country are performed on black women. You already have over 1 million black men in prison. You already have 70% of African, so-called African-American homes are single mother homes. You already have over 2 million black people on probation or parole. You already have a crack, cocaine, marijuana, heroin epidemic riddling horror on our neighborhoods. You already have gang activity killing people in our neighborhood. You already have secondary and post or sub-level education systems destroying our children. You already have vaccinations poisoning our children. You already have media portraying us as terrible folk. We already been in chattel slavery. We already been through Jim Crow. We already been through redlining and police brutality and lynching. And what else can you do to us? Well, what did they do to our people in Egypt? If you go to the book of Exodus, the first chapter, in Exodus chapter 1, start reading at the 10th verse or the 8th verse. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. He said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more than and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it comes to pass that when there falls out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burden, and they built for them Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithron and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So America has done this. They have afflicted us with slavery. And we've done exactly what happened in Egypt. We keep on multiplying. Parents telling their children to stop having babies. We keep multiplying. So what did he try next? But the verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, which the Americans have made us serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. And America has made our lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, as we have, and all the service wherein they have made them serve was with rigor, which we go through right now and have gone through. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwife, of which the name of one was Shifra, and the name of the other, Puah. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Now, America has done this method also. Instead of going to the midwives, though, what did they do? This little wicked lady back in the 20s named Margaret Sanger came up with this thing called a, what was that thing called? I just lost the word. I had it in my head. But at any rate, somebody know the word, text to me. Margaret Sanger. She came up with this thing which started Planned Parenthood. And it was this word that they used. And nevertheless, it was to abort babies. Not population, I mean, it was for population control. It wasn't called population control. And it was to abort babies. And what did they do? They went and they got all the black preachers and the black ministers and the black organizations to eugenics. Thank you. Eugenics. Margaret Sanger and eugenics. And this was to say that the lesser of the species, the lesser of the human race, should be controlled, should be killed. And they came up with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is based off of Margaret Sanger's theory and ideology of eugenics. And they made it part of the medical system. They made it part of the religious system. They conspired with black preachers and leaders, and they taught them to do these things, to promote abortions. But then abortion is illegal. But then abortion passed. And now abortion is a law. And you can get an abortion. And who has most of the abortion? The black women. So they just went from saying, well, don't just kill when they come out. If it's a son, just kill them before they even grow. They're just killing the seed as it is growing. So they wised up from the Egyptians and said, let's get them before they even grow. We got to be a little bit more cunning than them. And they were. They did. And they do it. And the midwives feared Elohim in verse 17 and did not ask the king of Egypt and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come into them. Therefore, Elohim dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And you see, even though our women are getting a whole lot of abortions, we still multiplying and growing very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged the people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. Every daughter, you shall save alive. And this is what they started to do, to the point where they had to hide Moses for 3 months before they could sail him down the river. Hopefully somebody would take him in as they did. And this is what they're going to do here. They have tried various different methods to destroy us, to silence us, to control us. But what did Yahweh say? He said, once he sees that their power is gone, then he is going to come and return. And when will you know our power is gone? This country has enacted emergency protocols back in the 70s and in the 50s and in the 60s. and in the 80s. Emergency protocols, under a code name at the time that they made it, was called the King Alfred Plan. And then it was changed to Rex 84. And now I believe it is called the Megiddo Project. Nevertheless, they're all the same thing. And one time it was called COINTELPRO. And they're all the same thing. They all have the same purpose. And that is to exterminate the children of Israel. Extermination. No, just not just put them in the field. It's extermination. Very soon, the vacant and some halfway and quarterly filled detention centers where they're putting these immigrants at as trial runs for you and I are going to start to be filled with you and I. And they're going to start to kill us and start to slaughter us. And that's just the sad news of what's going to happen. It's written in their emergency protocol that they will round up the mass population of African-American and Hispanic groups of folks and put them in concentration camps. And what do you think they're going to do with us there? Of course, while you're there, just like they do any concentration camp, they make you work. But just like they did in Germany, where do you think Hitler got his theories and his ideas from? He got it from Margaret Sanger. He killed 7+ million other people, not just Jews. He killed black people too. And they're going to do this thing. They're going to do this very shortly. And then you're going to see what it says in the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter, in verse 37, or verse 38. It says, "And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in iniquity in your enemy's land. And also in the iniquities of the fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers, with their trespasses they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and they have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept of their punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and I also remember my covenant with Yitzchak, and I also will remember my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land." But he said, "We're going to perish here." And so they're going to do, and they got all kind of methods that they're going to do this with. So what shall a single mother or a single father do? What shall anyone do in this looming time of trouble? It's in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter. And I'm going to show you how what the Most High wants you to do. All of you that are out there, now the connection that you might feel you need in this time. In Zephaniah, the second chapter, verse 1, it says, "Gather yourselves together." Yes, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. You see, the children of Israel weren't desired. The king of Egypt started slaughtering our people. And that's just what they end up doing. They just start doing genocide. These oppressors, they will take you for so long, and then they just kill them. Just kill them. You see them? And then the Egyptians just walking down the street. "Oh, look at that. I hear a big boy." Ran up in the house and just killed them. And that's what's going to be open season on Negroes. And you want to be a part of that? You want to be without protection? You want to be without a family? You want to be without a head of household? You want to be without a man and a woman of Elohim to pray to the Most High? to hide you in this time? Yahweh said, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. We're not desired. But you should desire yourself. It is time for us to gather ourselves together. What do you mean? Go to the place where Yah's people reside. And he said, before the decree was forth, before the day passes as the channel, before the fierce anger of Yahweh come upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger comes upon you, seek ye Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth. This is who should be gathering together. Those that are seeking Yahweh, that are meek in the earth, which have wrought his judgment. You need to go and gather with the ones that have wrought the judgment of the Most High, that work the judgment of the Most High, that know God's judgment. And what is judgment? I'm going to show you that. That have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness. You need to gather with those that are seeking righteousness, seek meekness. You need to gather with those that are seeking meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. Meaning, when this wrath come upon us, when this trouble falls upon us, when this slaughter falls upon us, you could be hid if you seek meekness, righteousness, if you are seeking Yah, if you are doing his judgment, if you're gathering with your people. And what is Yah's judgment? If you go back to the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, in verse 12 it says, verse 10 it says, therefore fear you not, O my servant Jacob, says Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel. Don't be afraid of this trouble that's coming. I will save you from afar. Yahweh is coming to save. And your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet. And none shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says Yahweh. He's with us to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations. That means he's not leaving nations standing. Though I make a full end of all nations, wherein I have scattered you, yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, and will not leave you altogether unpunished. Yahweh's judgment is measure. He's going to correct us in judgment, in measure. And if you do Yah's judgment, you work and exercise in the measure, in the measurement of Yah. And what are Yah's measurements? Sabbath days, Sabbath years. Various measurements that we have to learn, because we here at the House of Israel in Cincinnati, we do Yah's and we teach Yah's judgment. So for all the single mothers and all the single fathers that are seeking Yahweh, that are seeking righteousness, that are seeking meekness, that are working Yah's judgment, you got to gather yourselves together with your people. And who do you gather with? Like-minded people. The ones that are doing the same as you. Here in the House of Israel of Cincinnati, we've had many families begin to move here for Yahweh's word. Because Yahweh said, seek ye out of the book of Yah and read, none of these shall fail, but none of them shall want to make. Seek Yahweh, and you shall be hid. So that's what they should do. Raise the money up. Next question.
Praise Yah. Why do many Torah Hebrews believe that there's fallen angels all throughout the book of remembrance?
Praise Mariah. Well, That's because many people, or base or not, believe in other doctrines that have been taught to them. They believe in different doctrines. A lot of people come into the knowledge and they get a flurry of different doctrines. They think that they might be true or could be true, sound true, and they're just being taught wrong. They're being taught about all these different things. And so now you have a real major teaching, a real major belief that there's fallen angels, and that these fallen angels taught man how to do all kinds of things, and that these fallen angels laid with the daughters of men and had children with them, and that these children, these offspring, were giants, oversized people. 10, 15, and 20-foot tall people that were giants. Now, I don't even understand how they believe this stuff. You're telling me that a woman mated with an angel and birthed this huge baby? Because, I mean, the baby couldn't have been born 7 pounds, 6 ounces if he's walking around 10, 15, and 20 feet. He wasn't 7 pounds, 6 ounces. Come on. This is ridiculous. So how is a regular woman birthing a 13, 14, 15, 18, 20-pound baby? Because you know they got to be big. And these fallen angels supposed to have slept with women. Now, if you believe that angels slept with women, then now you believe that God slept with a woman. Or sent the Holy Spirit to mate with a woman. Because this would be the common practice among the heavenly beings. They can't find a mate in heaven. They gotta sleep with us. But no. This is religion. False religion, as every religion is. Let me give you a brief history of this fallen angel theory. Number one, it comes from Babylon, ancient Babylon, Babel, ancient Kush Empire. Transferred over to Egypt, transferred over to Greece, Rome, Europe, and various places throughout the world. The doctrine has its own doctrine and its own everything that goes with it. But because you had Europeans, mainly the Greeks, created their own version of the scriptures called the Septuagint. In the Septuagint, they furthered on this theory of fallen angels. And then once you get down to the King James Version, and you go to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, and you read the first verse, it'll say, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that the daughters of men were born to them. And who are these men? Well, at this point, there's only two lineages. There's a lineage that came from Adam's son, Seth, and there's the lineage that came from Adam's son, Cain. Adam's son, Seth, had a lineage of holiness. But Adam's son Cain had a lineage of profaneness. Now these men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. That the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And who were the sons of Elohim? The sons of Elohim were the sons of Seth. Seth, Enoch, Canaan, Mahaliel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. These are the sons of Elohim. And their families, these were the children of the Most High. These were the ones that called upon the name of Yah. And they saw the daughters of men that they were fair. They saw things children, just like today. You see the Kardashians, you're like, man, they look kind of good. They saw the children of the men, their daughters, that they were fair. Thought they was beautiful with their long hair. Remember, Cain's children had a mark on them. And that mark wasn't blessing. And they saw them that they were fair. And they took them wives of all those they chose. Which means what? They mingled the seed of Elohim. Just like we today, and just like our people in the land were holy and were given laws that they were not to mingle with certain nations, so were the sons of Elohim here undoubtedly instructed that they should not mingle with the daughters of men. But they did. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with angels. Did he say that? No, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Why? For that he also is flesh. Angels aren't flesh. Angels are spirits of fire. And his days shall be 120 years. Angels died 120. Why don't we see what's going on with the angels from this act that they committed? There were giants in the earth in those days. And this is where they try to put in their funny stuff. Because they use this word giant, even though the Hebrew word means that there were famous men in those days. Also, after that, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, and they bore unto the children, the same became mighty men, which were old, men of old, which were of old, men of renown, not hybrid seeds of angels and men of renown. They were just men of renown, like Barack Obama, a mingled person of renown, somebody that has mingled between the Elohimly seed and the seed of men. And if you don't believe that Yahweh knows the seed, that there are different classifications of people on the earth. And they're not races like racism and race relations and all this stuff that you got going on today. These are the different categories of people. In the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 27th verse, look what it says. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man. Why is that? Why is not Israel and Judah regarded as the seed of man? Because Israel and Yehuda are holy. Israel and Yehuda are the children of Yahweh. It says, with the house of Yehuda, with the seed of man. So now, even though me, I'm an Israelite, I'm a Hebrew, I'm a child of Yahweh, I could die just like another man. But Yahweh looks at me, looks at my children, my wife, my family, as a different thing. But he said, this seed is going to be mingled with man and with the seed of beasts. Uh-oh, who these beasts? You got classification of people. And the lowest one is the beast. Then you got man. But the highest classification of people is Israel and Yehuda. And how do we know that? If you go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, which I'll let you know that the sons of Elohim was not angels. Where's the punishment for the angels? You can't find it. Yahweh didn't punish angels for this act because angels didn't do it. Yahweh don't work like that. Deuteronomy 14:1-8, You are the children of Yahweh. Who's your father? Yahweh. That's who your daddy is. That's who your aunt is. That's who the man is. Yahweh is your father. Your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For you are a holy people unto Yahweh, your Elohim. And Yahweh has chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. Israel and Yehuda are higher than everybody. Yes, that might sound like we're some kind of supremacist group, but no, we're holy. We're not supremacists, we're holy people. And Yahweh said when you obey him and walk in his way and take hold of the covenant that he made with our fathers, that we're above all people on earth. We're peculiar. We're not regular no more. And last scripture on this is Psalm 82. Psalm 82, it states in verse 6, I have said, ye are gods, ye are Elohim, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because we ain't doing our job. And since we're not doing our job, we die the death of a common man. But he already told us we're the sons of the Most High. We're the children of Yahweh, which makes us the sons of Elohim. Which means what? Which means that the sons of Elohim before the flood were the ones that called on Yahweh. Just like we are the ones that call on Yahweh. And they mingled with the seed. And they created a hybrid race of folks that were tyrants. That's what those words meant. The giants, the famous men, men of old, men of renown, mean men of tyranny. Look it up. Which means they were what? Dictators, oppressors, evil, wicked people that corrupted the world. And now we dealt with it. Next question.
John. What are the conditions that will have David to return or to be raised up before Israel? What is the timeline that Yahweh says that David will return?
What are the conditions? What is the timeline that says David will return? And as we said, our program is Seek Out of the Book of Yah, and everything that we're answering the questions with today is from the book of the Most High, because Yahweh has the answer for all your questions in his book. So make sure you type your questions in our chat room, especially on YouTube and on Facebook. And what is the timeline for David's return, and what are the conditions that will trigger this event? Well, let me show you the book of Hosea, the third chapter. Hosea chapter 3, verse 4 says, for the children of Israel shall dwell many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim, which lets us know that we're going through a long period without any representation, any legacy of government, any sacrifice, any priestly order, any image, any thing that represents us. We don't even know what's the image of the children of Israel. Well, it's what Yahweh said. He said in Deuteronomy 32, he said, look unto your elders and they will tell you, ask if your ancestors and they will show me. Since Yahweh created man, he put the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And what is that? 12. What is this 12? This is the image. This is our image. Why do you think there was 12 places for shoe bread, 12 stones, and 12 names on, 6 names on one shoulder of the priest's garment and 6 names on the other? Because this is the image. This is what represents Israel. And without ephod, without the priest in the garment, without the holy place, without a teraphim, without a healer, someone to pray for you, without these things, and how long? Going a long time without them. We haven't had them a long time. Afterwards, so after this long time, and we can show you what this time, long time is, I can just basically tell you it's been from the time after we came out of Babylon up until now. We haven't had these things. They've been constantly compromised. And we have not had all of these things. Nearly 2,500 years. But now, afterward, shall the children of Israel return. And see, this is what you start to see. Israel returning to the Most High. They seek Yahweh. Israel seeking their Elohim. And incidentally, Yahweh inspired his messengers, his servants, to go to the rivers of Babylon and seek Yahweh, our Elohim. Just like our people sought him in the days of old. We did this. 3 years ago, we did this. We went to the Jamestown, Virginia. We went to the bank of the James River and sought Yahweh in fasting and sackcloth and ashes upon our head and face the east to where our land is from and cried out to the Almighty and sought him. Asked for him to intervene in this oppression. That's what our people did in the scriptures. And this just happened. The people will seek him. And that's what the Most High has been showing us to show you, to seek him. And David, their king, and shall fear Yahweh in his goodness in the latter days. And why do you think so many people are looking for David right now? Mm. Why do you think we keep on having people ask us about David right now? Because this is the time. What chapter did we read this in? The 3rd chapter of Hosea. And what does 3 represent? God's servant. And what? So that's the timeline and conditions. But look at this also in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Again, the 3rd chapter. In what year are we in right now? We're in the 3rd year. That represents Yahweh's servant. It represents Yahweh's holy messenger. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yahweh has sent his messenger to prepare the way. I taught a few days ago this exact fact, that Yahweh sent Moreh Elisha, the prophet of Yah. And Moreh Elisha cleared a path. There's not been a servant of Yah to come and clear a path as Maury Alicia has cleared it. You can't do it. The videos, the tapes, and the recordings that have been left on record, the books, the writings that Maury Alicia has done is waking up more people than I am, than Shia is, than Natalia is, than Obadiah is, than any Maury in this country that has been taught by Maury Alicia. There's not a one teacher that is waking up more people than Alicia is right now, and Alicia's been dead for 6 years. There's not a messenger that has cleared the path for Yahweh like Alicia, that came and took this great big empire of Christianity and made it look like an ant you could just step on. This big billion man strong religion of Islam, and made it look like the most simple thing you could just throw in the trash. There's not a man that has came in the name of Yah and has put every religion to shame. There's one book, and one Elohim, in one word, and that is Yahweh. He sent this messenger to do what? Prepare a way before me. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Christianity is the single most destructive drug on our people today. But Maury Alicia came in the name of Yah. And if you listen and hear what this man taught in the name of Yah, Christianity is nothing. Islam is nothing. Yahweh is everything. And this was taught by his messenger. But it says, and the master, the king, the ruler, the Lord, whom you seek, and who do we seek? David, shall suddenly come to his temple. Whose temple? Whose place? Well, the master's place. Simple grammar teaches you that his goes to the subject, and the subject was the messenger. And what does that mean? Well, this king, this master, is going to suddenly come to his place, which means it's out of nowhere. Boom, there he is. Where'd he come from? I don't know why he come. Even the messenger of the what? The covenant. Because David has his own covenant. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith Yahweh of hosts. But who may endure the day of his coming? Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? And brothers and sisters, when this messenger comes, ain't nobody going to be able to stand before him. Ain't nobody going to be able to lift up anything and actually hold any credence. So these are the conditions that have to happen. And truth be told, they are happening right now. And he'll be here soon. Hallelujah. Any other questions?
Praise y'all. Final question. When during this timeline, I believe his last question, will Elijah return and will everyone see him? And what does his role of returning the parents to the children really mean?
Yeah. We're in the same chapter, Malachi, the third chapter. They want to know about Elijah or Elijah. In Malachi, the third chapter, as a matter of fact, Malachi, the fourth chapter, start reading in the first verse, because I want you to understand something. The scriptures is written for and about Yahweh's remnant. It's not written about everybody under Yah. It's written about Yahweh's remnant. It's written for Yahweh's remnant. Meaning the one that actually don't serve him, believe him, worship him, follow him. Everybody's not going to do that. And listen to what Yahweh said in Malachi 4:1. For behold, the days come that shall burn as an oven. It shall, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wing. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down. Who's the you? The ones that fear Yahweh. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Who's the yours? The ones that fear Yahweh. In the day that I shall do this, says Yahweh of hosts, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you, who are you? Those that fear his name, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers of the children into the heart of the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So who is he going to come to? He's only coming to those that fear Yah's name. Who's going to even look for him? Those that fear Yah's name. Who's going to even know that he was there? Those that fear Yah's name. And who's going to turn their hearts to their children? Those that fear Yah's name. And who's going to turn their hearts to their fathers? Those that fear Yah's name. So if you're looking for all the deadbeat daddies to go back to their kids, and all the mamas to go back to their kids, and all the kids to go back to their daddy, no, that's not going to happen. Only the ones that fear Yah's name are going to receive the effects of this. Because that's the ones that Yahweh wants to save. That's the one that Yahweh wants to preserve. And Elijah's spirit, Elijah, will do this thing. And so those, who's going to believe it happened? Those that fear Yah's name. And who's not going to believe or understand or even know when or if it happened? Those that don't fear Yah's name. And therefore, Elijah, when he returns, as he really already has, and the work is being done, you have the children returning to the fathers. And who are these fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. Who are these children? The children of Yehuda, the children of Israel. But those that fear his name. This book is only written for those that fear his name. So Elijah and David, and all the others, and all the other events that may and will happen and have happened, they're recognized by God's chosen people. Hallelujah. That was the last question. Well, praise the mighty Yah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we, and thank you for your questions. Hallelujah and Shalom.
In the day. I don't know. Me playing, it was even just like every day. Dang, that was like a whole lesson about David in the last day. It might as well have been.
Thank you. somebody say, I can't hear you say, who asked that question about singing?